Hello, my name is Jessica Dockstader, and I'm a research specialist at the CNA Institute for Public Research and the outreach coordinator for the BWC TGA program. We have found that agencies benefit greatly from direct regular support from a TGA team consisting of a training and technical assistance lead and analyst assigned to work with them throughout their BWC implementation process, a meeting with other sites, assistance with policy development, and other resources and ongoing TTA. We conducted brief one-on-one interviews with our BWC TTA leads to allow each site in the broader policing community a chance to learn about their expertise. Please enjoy this BWC TTA lead feature.
My name is Harold Medlock. I am a retired police chief from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Spent 4 years as a police chief there. And spent 25 years with Charlotte Mecklenburg Police. Started as most officers do, started as a patrol officer in Charlotte and finished there in Charlotte as the deputy chief of police. I've served in virtually every assignment that you could imagine with Charlotte Mecklenburg, except I did not get to be a canine handler and I was not able to ride a motorcycle. And both of those I always wanted to do as a police officer, but those two things eluded me. Probably as it relates to body worn camera, I was very deeply involved back in the 90s, believe it or not, with implementing writing policy for our mobile video recorders, or some folks call them in-car cameras, for Charlotte Mecklenburg Police. So I was very deeply involved in implementing the car cameras for our department. And then they went from mobile video recorders to digital video recorders to finally then being able to download from the cars, you know, straight to the cloud. When I went to Fayetteville, North Carolina as police chief, we still did not at that time have body-worn cameras in Charlotte, but it was the technology that I knew that was going to be important to the profession, but certainly important to Fayetteville to build trust and transparency with our community. We had experienced some difficulties in connecting the department with our community, and there was a lack of trust there. So we wanted to be accountable and we wanted to be transparent with the work that our officers were doing. So I started in 2013, shortly after I arrived, talking to the community and talking to my police officers about the importance of body-worn cameras and how it would help build trust and transparency and accountability, and also document the great work that our officers were doing. I didn't have a way to pay for it. Our department at that time had no budget for body-worn cameras. And so in early 2015, the very first body-worn camera BJA grant offerings came out. We applied and we were fortunate enough to be able to equip all of our patrol officers, all of our supervisors, and all of our field lieutenants with body-worn cameras. The most interesting thing about that is that shortly after we deployed, our department there in Fayetteville is a one-for-one car plan, or a take-home car plan, for our officers. And so about 6 weeks after we deployed, I had several officers, patrol officers, show up at my door. And they said, "Chief, we need to share with you some concerns we have about body-worn cameras." And I thought we were going to have a problem. And what it was, these officers, we had to dock our body-worn cameras, our officers did, at the end of their shift. And they were concerned and frequently were involved in responding to calls or stopping to help motorists on their way to and from work. They were concerned that they would not have body-worn cameras when they went home and when they were coming to work, and they wanted to be equipped. So we found the money, believe it or not, to equip all of our officers with two cameras each, so that they would always have a camera available while one was downloading to the cloud. So very, very interesting prospect that we faced there in Fayetteville, and it's worked out very well for our officers and for the community.
So what is your top advice for sites?
You know, Jessica, the thing that I could offer most to prospective body-worn camera sites, or those that have the program now, is, of course, first, develop a very strong, solid body-worn camera policy. And there's so many resources out there now to do that, certainly through the body-worn camera website, through BJA, the work that's being done there. But then take a look at some of the very best policies throughout the country, from larger departments and smaller departments, and then departments your size, and really compare what's going on. Again, the body-worn camera toolkit on the website has many of those model policies out there. Reach out to the representatives from those departments, get their opinion, their advice. That's the first thing. The second thing that I would strongly suggest is that a department constantly review its body-worn camera policy and revise it, update it as necessary upon that review, because technology is changing so much. Improvements are being made to the equipment that all of the manufacturers, the vendors provide to our departments. And so it requires a constant review and update of your body-worn camera policy.
Great, thank you. So what is the most interesting use of body-worn cameras that you've seen from a site?
Wow. Probably the two things that stick out, and I'll just pick two categories. Number one is the life-saving work that our officers are doing every day that are non-traditional policing life-saving measures. And then the second is the community engagement. I'll give you a couple of examples. I saw a video a couple of years ago of a man who was he was described as a terror to his community. And finally, one afternoon, someone shot the man in the leg. And of course, the officers responded. Unfortunately, the man was shot in, the round struck his femoral artery, and he was bleeding out. That department had also equipped its officers with tourniquets. And so a young female officer had just gone through the training, saw the damage that was being done, saw that the man was losing his life, and applied that tourniquet up close and personal through the benefit of the body-worn camera. It was a pretty grisly scene, but it showed that officer saving that man's life through the use of a tourniquet up close and personal. And that's one, that, unfortunately, that you can't show the community because it was so grisly, but it did allow that department to talk about that and to brag on the officer for using her training and her equipment to save the life of an individual that many in the community honestly questioned why the officer saved the man's life. Nevertheless, she did. He continues to live, hopefully, in a better state of mind and behavior than he was prior to the shooting. But it certainly is demonstrative of that kind of work that goes on every day of our officers stepping in to save the life of a person from a variety of activities, such as gunshots or car crashes or what have you. The other is the community engagement. There is nothing like seeing, you know, a cop, a police officer, a sheriff's deputy out engaging with kids in the community, you know, playing basketball or throwing a football or just talking with the kids. And not that they're doing it to advertise themselves or to promote themselves. They're just out there doing that work, and it is work, but it also shows the human side of policing. And so those things that are caught frequently, the officers don't even tell their supervisors or another officer about it. It's just that another officer recognizes that that person is out there doing the work and alerts the supervisor or the shift commander, and they download or review it and say, this is really great work. And then a lot of times you see it on the internet. But more importantly, that work is promoted and talked about internally in police departments and sheriff's offices across the country. And so when you have a supervisor or a commander bragging on an officer saying, hey, great job, well done, I really enjoyed watching that, it encourages other officers to start to participate in that kind of work, that kind of behavior, and that kind of interaction. So it's, you know, the body-worn camera is not doing anything but capturing the work, the activities of the officers. And so it's really neat to see those kinds of activities and then those activities promoted to other officers and of course to the community as it ends up finding its way sometimes onto social media.
Thank you for listening to this BWC TTA lead feature. To hear from the other TTA leads or learn more about the program, visit our website at bwcTTA.com.